Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by the other one, Luke.
Hello, Swaft Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you? I'm just going to put my phone on to mute there because all of a sudden I've had loads of notifications come through.
I'm good. That was the first time I've said the other one, I think, on a podcast intro.
It is, yes.
How do you feel about that? Do you want me to leave that off the podcast stuff?
Yeah, I suppose it hasn't really made its way across onto the podcast platform, has it? It's more of a YouTube joke.
So if you haven't seen it, Podswafters, it is when we're at MediaCon, Rich Swann ran over to us and was like, "Hey, it's Ollie. Hey, it's Fakeador. Hey!" And then just hugged Luke and not set. And then Luke went, "The other one."
Because he clearly forgot my name.
Yeah, and he went, "Ah, the other one." And that's so that's where that gag comes from, that hilarious confidence shatterer.
It was a little bit. I mean, you said, because we've been recording Wrestle Ramble Extra this week for our Patreon.
Good show.
Good show. Unbreakable 2005, doing a TNA pay-per-view. My era of TNA. Loved it.
We are an hour 40 into our record, and 40 minutes of that was pretty much just us talking about...
Nonsense. And how much we loved TNA back in the day. What was the point I was going to make? You were talking about that, and you said, like, you... And bless your heart, you were trying to be like, man, it's fine. You were like, you know, you were away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you were.
You know, and it was just before MediaCon. So it's understandable that you might have forgotten your name, because Fakeador was there all the time. It's an easier name to remember. So, I mean, bless your heart, but I'm the butt of the joke. It's fine. I'm third in the pecking order. That's fine. But podcast domain, that's my domain. I'm the podcast master. I'm king round here.
King Luke.
Yeah.
Podcast king.
That's going to be my next t-shirt.
Cheap pod.
I'm a podcast master.
Yeah.
In the Pokemon font.
I'm trying to think of better puns.
Yeah.
But I'll come up with one
later. We'll send that out to the Swaft Nation. Yeah. I was trying to find some correspondence to read out. I'm trying to do it across different devices. That's why you could hear my phone buzzing at the start, because I'm trying to do it on my phone as well as my laptop in this room where we don't really have a lot of phone reception and or internet reception.
I am looking for... I'm really getting excited now about the new office.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
It should be ready on the 1st of October. Might not be ready, though. no more than like a week max delay if it isn't. But yeah, like, I'm going to go to peek behind the curtain, folks. Going to go to IKEA this weekend.
Oh, so exciting.
Get some office furniture, because... it's just an empty two rooms at the moment. One's the office, one's the soundproof studio.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about getting some new lights, because our current light gets obscenely hot.
Yep.
We're going to get an LED one so it stays cool in our studio room. And I've kind of enlisted my lady partner as the interior designer. She likes that kind of stuff. So expect wall gardens. Expect lots of plants.
Yes.
Yeah.
So on the subject of finding correspondence, because you have now set me this task of, like, you got to keep these intros and outros to 10 minutes each, because you're a busy man, I'm a busy man, we can't just sit here and chat all day long reading out correspondence. I was like, okay, what I need to do is I need to find a short email. I just went through six emails. every single one of them is multiple paragraphs. And I'm like, it's not really a choice.
We've got 7 minutes of the intro left.
In which case, then, I'm going to read out... I've got this email here from Ruben Johnson. And it's a Rusev Hey. And it is... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 paragraphs long.
Nice.
Do you want me to read that one?
Yeah, go for it.
So this is from Ruben Johnson.
You're meant to be podmaster.
I know, but you're the one who's all about keeping time and making sure we do things to 10 minutes. That's my pitch-perfect impression of you, by the way.
I have delegated that.
That wasn't Ollie Davis speaking. That was me doing an impression of him. So this one's from Ruben Johnson. Hi, Luke, brackets, and Ollie. Just to remind you, I'm the podcast master. I've got a Rusev Hey about a WWE Raw live event in Bournemouth earlier this year. I got to meet loads of superstars during the day of their event, which was set to take place at the BIC in the evening.
I feel like we've had someone write in about that same event.
Yes.
Because I told my story about the guy who accidentally got re-addicted to crack.
That's...
yeah.
That classic podcast story is why people subscribe to this thing. I got photos with the show-off Dolph Ziggler and England's own Mark Andrews. They were both really nice blokes who stopped to take a photo. Dolph had just finished a Twitter promo outside the hotel they were staying at, talking about the show. This was first on their two-week European tour. After standing around a while, the Riot Squad pulled up in a taxi, but embarrassingly, one of their cards got declined and they couldn't pay for the taxi. And they were awkwardly standing around the cab, waiting for a WWE official to come out and pay the taxi man. When we asked for pictures, they were clearly embarrassed and walked inside. Oh, that's rough, man. This is like the TNA, I'll go back to TNA, when the TNA Knockouts champion got recognized at a sunglasses hut because she was working there on the weekends because she couldn't afford to pay her rent.
It could be an overseas travel thing.
That's
sometimes
what I would
the
say.
The card company blocks the transaction.
Because with some banks, you need to tell them you're going abroad and you have to do it a certain amount of time in advance. And in fact, actually, when we were over in Canada, we had told our bank that we're going to be in Canada for this amount of time. But after 2 weeks, they were like, you've been there long enough, and just stopped our card from working. Despite the fact we told them we're going to be there for two and a bit, they were just like, no, we're just going to stop now. So we had to like use the emergency credit card.
It doesn't matter though, does it, Luke? Because it's all just zeros and ones that
way. Well, it is. The card stopped us from using our zeros and ones. This is also from Wrestle Ramble Extra. You need to become a pledge hammer to find out that little rant I have.
So slightly disappointed that the Riot Squad didn't turn this into an angle. Because if that was the Riot Squad I know from Raw, they would have spray-painted some slightly annoying comments on the cab.
Or thrown coins at them.
Yeah, or snipped off the guy's tie.
Yeah, do taxi drivers wear ties? Maybe they do in Bournemouth.
Mine do. Uber XL over here.
Oh, hello, mate. Someone's business. Back to Ruben's email. Sasha Banks and Titus O'Neil walked past, both very sweaty, and were very rude to fans who were just trying to say hello. Titus O'Neil, Dad of the Year? That seems very surprising. They ignored everyone, and Titus, who is a huge man, pushed some guy out of the way whilst walking through the crowd of people. Although they get bombarded with people every day, the least they could do is say hi.
Just a little hi, little wave of the arm, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like they got the gimmicks confused. That should be the Riot Squad walking
exactly,
through
pushing people.
And Titus's card getting declined. Titus, well, declined.
Oh, nice. This one seems especially for you. Nia Jax was incredible. She stopped and spoke to every fan who asked for pictures. She was champ at this point, and she was spreading the message of anti-bullying and positive body image. She is genuinely one of the nicest superstars, let's just say wrestlers, on the roster I have ever met. Bobby Lashley was having a pint in a local bar. Not with his sisters. And Woken Matt Hardy recorded a Twitter promo of his own down the Bournemouth beach. And Sami Zayn was hanging around Bournemouth Gardens in a hoodie and wearing that famous Sami Zayn hat. That must be the same like the other guy that we got the email about. It's almost like intersections. Like storylines hitting into each other.
Wait, so these bits he's describing, did he just run around Bournemouth finding these people, or are these clips that were posted onto WWE's Twitter account? So Bobby Lashley was just hanging out at a bar having a pint.
Having a pint like a bloody bloke.
Who would have wrestled that day?
Yeah, you'd have a pint after you wrestle.
Wrestled with a pint in him?
Probably.
Oh, well, I thought it was pre-show.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, well, where are we?
No wonder he sweats.
I got to meet loads of superstars during the day. Actually, he was having a pint during the day. Crikey.
Well, I would with that booking.
He's there going like, what a mistake. Yeah. What an error I've made.
Sammy's walking around with a hood up, hoping no one recognises him.
Don't.
Bobby's drinking his sister's storyline away. I love my family.
I went to the toilet in the hotel where the superstars, let's say wrestlers, were staying at because I've been standing around for multiple hours now and we were starting to make our way to the venue for the event. Then all of a sudden at the bar, another one, was the big dog himself, Roman Reigns, and Baron Corbin. Come on, guys, kayfabe. Oh, drinking together. Where are we? At the bar was the big dog himself, Roman Reigns, and Baron Corbin. And also on their way out of the toilet, I walked past AOP talking about Manchester United. Big fans, clearly. Maybe that's what they're talking about. You know when they just start saying random things? Mm-hmm. They're just talking about the football match they saw at the weekend, about how great United are. Could be. I walked past, not saying hi or asking for a picture. It was their private space in the hotel. Good work, Ruben. I waited in the lobby of the hotel as all the superstars made their way from the hotel to their two tour buses, my mistake, are out the back. I saw all the superstars on the tour from Ember Moon to Elias. It's a very small breath there, really. From Ember Moon all the way to Elias.
All of the WWE Raw stars who don't have storylines.
It wasn't like you said, from Alexa Bliss to Xavier Woods. Mm. Like, that's literally A to X. I couldn't think of one beginning with Z. Zack Ryder. Damn it, nailed it.
A1.
You've got some talk about WrestleRumble extra stuff on this show where people aren't listening to that, which was quite unnecessary because it was literally 30-second car journey to the BIC. Two more paragraphs to go. We sat in the front row of the event, and it generally was a good show. Fandango ripped off his shirt and spun it around and threw it to the crowd, and it somehow didn't go too far at all. I have the shirt.
Wow.
And oddly, smelt of vapor rub.
What do you do if you get those shirts? I've always wondered.
Frame them, I guess?
Frame them, yeah, but... You wouldn't wash. You wouldn't
sell
wear
on eBay.
It.
No, you wouldn't wear it. That'd be weird.
How do you list that thing on eBay? Worn by.
Yeah. Well, I once knew a guy who used to blow his nose into tissue paper, and then would sell it online, claiming he'd stolen it from famous people.
What?
Yeah.
And people bought it.
Yep. Not like for a lot, like, you know, £5-10 a pop, but you'd be just for like.
Well, that's a hell of a markup from a blowed nose into a tissue.
Yeah, it's like it's Jennifer Aniston's used tissue. I saw her at a restaurant. You like come up with a story. I saw her at a restaurant. She blew her nose and she left it on the table, and I stole it.
Good God!
Yeah, smart businessman.
Or creepy con man. I think creepy con man.
Yep. Roman Reigns walked around the ring at the end of the main event against Bobby Lashley, so he did have a match, and he stopped to fist bump a little kid next to me and gave him his gloves that he wears to Superman punch everyone. The kid started crying and was super excited. It was your cousin, wasn't it? There clearly still are some Roman Reigns fans. I'm sorry this was a long-winded email, and I hope you enjoyed my Rusev hay. I'm from Bournemouth, guest, and I was shocked to hear that Ollie turned a Superman into a heroin user one night.
Hey.
Shame on you, Ollie.
That wasn't me. That was his own demons.
I've got another Rusev hey about meeting British Strong Style at a Rev Pro show if you want to hear about it. We absolutely do. I love the podcast and love hearing about people's Rusev hays. Keep them coming. All the best, Ruben Johnston. What a tremendous email. I'm so glad we read that out.
Yeah, I think that was just Ruben's account of his day.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Look at all the stars, the wrestlers he met on that day, though. And Ruby Riott getting a card declined. Bobby Lashley having a pint. He saw behind the scenes stuff of people filming their promos.
Yeah. I like the details.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good details. But we're now going to dive into the show. Please do enjoy. We're going to be talking about the sad breakup of Rusev Day, speaking of Rusev Hayes, and just how wasted of an opportunity that really was.
And yes, on Rusev Day no less, Rusev Day have broken up.
What a shame. What a real shame. I said this in the review, but like, I mean, yeah, this turn has been a long time coming. We all knew it was coming, but I can't help but feel sad that they just didn't do anything more with this faction.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like Rusev Day are over in spite of WWE's booking.
Yeah.
This could have been, I think, like, you know, in 5-6 years' time, we'll look back on this and go, oh yeah, but Rusev Day, it was only ever like an 8-month thing.
Yeah.
Feels like such a bigger thing that was part of Rusev's career. But no, it was really sort of, and they weren't even properly together for all that time.
No, exactly. Like, they had one tag team title match, like, in sort of the early days when they weren't really Rusev Day. They were just Rusev and Aiden English. And then they had the match at Hell in a Cell. But that's more or less been about it. Like, they haven't really had... Like, I thought they were going to get into a feud with the Usos because you'd had Lana and Naomi there as well. There's lots of avenues that you could have taken this down. And they didn't really do anything. Like, it's just... Because, like... Yeah, they just haven't really done much.
It was right back at the start of the year when it was, I think it was February, and there was the chance when Rusev Day were the most over act in the company to just put the belts on them. And, you know, the Bludgeon Brothers weren't in the mix yet.
I think it was late last year. I think it was the one, where it was the Four Corners tag match, the one you're thinking of.
I think that was February.
Was it February?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was last year, but I'm willing to be wrong.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because it was after the February SmackDown pay-per-view. Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So that was the moment where they should have struck
100%
and pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
And they didn't. Of course, they were building up the Bludgeon Brothers, and it's kind of a shame we got this rather nothing Bludgeon Brothers reign at the expense of what could have been a really over star-making tag team run for Rusev Day. So this was a well-executed turn and breakup. It's just, I'm not sad because they've broken up. I'm sad because WWE didn't do more with them.
Yeah.
It's the wrong kind of heat.
That's it, yeah. They really had something with this team, and they just opted to... I mean, and you could tell that, like, as soon as they put them together, they were sowing the seeds of breaking them up. They had no long-term plans for Rusev Day as an act. You know, when they brought Lana in, Lana was meant to cause dissension between two. It almost feels like they've started this story 5 or 6 times this year alone, and now finally they've decided we're going to pull the trigger now. They are broken up as a team, and Aiden English is now a heel.
And they never even were like, "Yep, these guys are baby faces."
Yeah,
there was never a big whole like presentation of, "Yeah, they're the you like them, you love cheering them, they've got fun bits." They're baby faces. No, it's kind of been, they were heels, then they were reluctantly heels. And even now, like in the last month, there hasn't been, that they've had this dissension thing going on.
Yeah, you're right. They never had that like baby face turn moment. And what a moment that would have been like to cap off an episode of SmackDown where Rusev Day came down to make the save for someone. And you have this big baby face turn.
Yeah.
And the crowd can go crazy with their Rusev Day chants. And you had something you could have done with it. But they, as I said, like they never had long-term plans for it. Because it's one of these things, again, it got over and they didn't want it to get over. So the idea is just like, well, let's just not do anything with them. And then eventually the chance will die out. It's the Zack Ryder effect.
Mm. And that's crazy that that's still an effect, really,
in
2018. Sure, it was a new thing back in the heady days of 2012 or whenever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But really... acts getting themselves over should be leapt upon because it's quite rare actually to get the crowd organically behind people in WWE.
Well,
and this was an act like it, and they really begrudgingly got behind them, and so it never really played out.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to try and cut you off there, but I was just going to say, like, talking about WWE and SmackDown in this sort of mold of, man, this thing is sort of getting organically over, let's not try and push that. You've only got to look at the main event of this show.
But they're kind of leaning into that and doing it.
I don't think they are.
It's Becky Lynch and Charlotte.
Yeah, I don't think they are, because Saxton and Phillips, the babyface commentators, were there telling you, the audience, like, this Becky, she's a horrible person. Mm. You are, like, don't cheer this person. She is the heel in this scenario. She was disrespectful to Charlotte Flair and she's bad. And you've got Corey Graves, the heel announcer, going like, Becky's great. She's doing what she needs to do to be champion. And then when Charlotte Flair comes out, they're like, gosh, Charlotte's the best. She's just brilliant. She just wants to have, she wants to show respect, but Becky's so disrespectful. But the crowd didn't hear any of what Phillips and Saxton were saying. We're just like, Becky's the best.
Well, just reacting to how Becky
is
performing
the best.
Because she's being a badass.
She's the best.
And saying the word bitch.
Bitch. But we'll get onto that later.
Yeah, so this the Rusev Day narrative, of course, started in Hell in a Cell, where Aiden... sort of cost the team the victory by just not tagging in Rusev when he should have done. He sort of got too cocky. And here there's a backstage bit where Rusev has a match with Shinsuke Nakamura for the US title, and Rusev tells English backstage that he won't be ringside for the match because it was his fault they lost at Hell in a Cell. And Rusev and Lana walk away to prepare for that match, and English turns round. Thankfully, there is a handy producer there to vent all his frustrations to. That was lazy.
And vent he did. He talked about how Rusev Day wouldn't be anything without Aiden English, which, in all fairness, is quite true.
He's the singer guy.
I know, right? And unfortunately, the stagehand sort of was like pointing over, because little did Aiden English realise Lana was sort of still there and she was listening to everything that he said. And then she said, "I'm going to go and tell Rusev what you just said, the little snitch."
So what do you think about... I think there are a less in-your-face ways of turning to a random, no-name WWE stagehand to convey that English is upset here.
Well, you needed the... I mean, I was about to say, you needed Lana to be there to hear, but actually that didn't play off into anything, so you didn't really need Lana to be there to hear anything, so you
could... I like the dynamic that provided, but I just thought English is a good actor, but there's only so much you can do with rubbish, and when it is...
I didn't think it was as bad as you're making it out to me.
It didn't bother me. It's not as bad, but it is. There would have been a better way to do that.
Yeah, it didn't bother me that much.
But anyway, Lana goes to tell Rusev, but she doesn't get there. She's just about to get there, and Rusev is like, "No, I have to prepare for my match. Whatever you have to tell me must wait." And Aiden's like run in to try and stop Lana from telling Rusev. And he's focused on Nakamura. And Rusev says, "Aiden, would you do the honours?" So English would go out and sing Rusev Day. And English looks so happy. And he goes, "Of course." Yeah. Like, "Of course, my liege."
Yeah.
It was so nice. And I thought, yes, they're going to stay together.
Oh, no, man. When he came out and he was singing, you could almost see it in his eyes.
Did you?
Yeah, I was like, this is the last time you're going to get to do this.
Well, hopefully he makes it English Day.
Yeah.
He should keep singing this.
He tweeted that out. Happy English Day. Or Happy Aiden Day.
This provided a really good dramatic layer to the Rusev-Nakamura match, which I was already looking forward to, but then you had that added layer of tension of Lana knowing that English might not be on their side and kind of looking across to him and not being able to tell Rusev and seeing how English is reacting to stuff. I thought it was a very well-booked match.
Really was. I thought it was a really good match as well. I thought it was some really good action with Rusev and Nakamura. And you had English on the outside starting Rusev Day chants and things like that. I generally thought this was really great. Nakamura doing his knee off the second turnbuckle onto Rusev on the apron. Some really great spots in this. And there was a point when there was a great near fall off a Rusev kick, and like the crowd bought into it as a finish.
It was Nakamura running with the Kinshasa, but Rusev...
There was one before that. And then that was the sort of the big finish to the match, which was Nakamura tries the Kinshasa. He hits him with a Machka kick instead. And then English, in his bravado, he got too enthusiastic with his cheerleading, jumped up and told Rusev to crush. Rusev got distracted by this because he's like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
And then Nakamura rolled him up and got the win. And English and Lana were very upset at ringside.
So when Aiden jumped onto the ring apron, was that him getting just caught up in the moment, or was it him costing Rusev the match intentionally?
Oh, no, I thought it was caught up in the moment. I mean, that's what I've said in my review, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I misread actions.
Well, what happened afterwards? Aiden gets in the ring and just clobbers Rusev with the mic.
Yeah.
The source of Aiden's power, the singing microphone, and just keeps on wailing on his head with it. The actual cube, the WWE cube, broke.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that before.
And he says, "Happy Rusev Day," and he walks away, and Lana's screaming at him to stop and get out of here. I did think this might be one of the first times I've ever seen the person who caused the distraction is the one that turns heel. Usually, like, it's the wrestler gets so frustrated with their manager that they turn on them or their tag team partner.
Well, that's why I think Aiden... intentionally cost Rusev the match.
Yeah.
He'd already made up his mind.
I saw someone say that on Twitter, actually. Yeah, you could almost see... But actually, I thought they also said that English was beating him up, but you could tell in his eyes he didn't want to do this, but he had to do it.
Oh, because Lana was going to spill the beans anyway.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's, you know, that's a very fraught emotional story, but it would be so much better if Rusev, they did have this long friendship without all the problems in the past and, you know, stop and start breakup storylines. And I thought this was a good angle, though.
Yes,
as,
I thought
as
it was
an isolated
good.
Incident, this was very good. But it's not promising for English. I can't see English having this long push afterwards.
Well, no, I mean, this is going straight to the pre-show of, you know, Super Showdown or what have you. And, I can't see English getting too much out of this either, which is a shame.
Yeah, and stats fans... Oh, wait, I've got the wrong...
You've got the wrong calendar open. I saw you open up this calendar in preparation
for
this.
We were just chatting earlier in the week, and I was like, I was looking at my calendar of stuff to do. And
it's
I was
a week tomorrow. It's a week today.
Yeah. I was like, what? Why have I got Rusev Day on the 26th of September in my calendar? And I clicked on it and said annually recurring event. And it was something that I had put in my calendar a year ago. So 26th of September, today's the 19th. It was a week out from being the first anniversary of Rusev Day when Rusev came out after the Randy Orton match and he beat Randy Orton and the mayor of wherever...
Plovdiv or whatever it was.
Yeah, declared Rusev Day a national holiday in Bulgaria.
It's where Rusev Day was born.
Yeah.
And here we are. And actually, I wonder if Aiden's promo next week is going to tie into... We've just passed the one-year anniversary of Rusev Day.
I mean, why not save the breakup until next week?
Because Super Showdown's in 3 weeks, man. You've got to cycle through these things.
Yeah, priorities.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The show kicked off with a Becky Lynch and Charlotte video package, which shows how much they're really pushing this as the main event storyline. It got the main event slot in this show. Yeah, I'm enjoying how much they're making this feel like a big deal, because it is a big deal.
It is a massive deal.
Sometimes WWE just drop it down the card, put it in the middle of the show.
Yeah, no, I'm really, thumbs up.
Yeah, but the first segment was Miz TV and a mystery guest. And you said on the podcast outro yesterday, which is exclusive to podcast subscribers, and it's totally free, so go and subscribe to the podcast version of this show.
And you should listen to it anyway, because it's got great other features on there, like Poetry Corner, Wrestling Confessions, and you'll be happy to know we finally had some submissions in for your Creator Wrestler feature.
Yes, which might be ripping off another show's feature,
which all of our other features appear to have done.
It feels like someone's already done it, but I don't know where.
Yeah.
But yes, you said it'll probably be Maurice for this mystery Miz TV guest.
Yeah.
It was.
And it was. It was Maurice.
How flat was the start of this Miz TV segment, where he looks to the screen before I'm going to introduce my mystery TV guest.
I've got a big announcement to make.
I'm going to face Daniel Bryan for a championship opportunity at Super Showdown. And they had the graphic that appeared on screen. A graphic that was posted by WWE a month ago.
Yeah. But, oh man, tell that to Phillips and Saxton and Graves. They'd never heard of this news before. They were like, this is massive news. This is big. This is a huge announcement. I'm like, yeah, that you made a month ago. It's been shown on TV.
The crowd were dead. Miz, who is the ultimate corporate man, he can shill anything. Even his heart wasn't in this. It's so weird the way they've done this.
Well, it's because that WWE are in this thing now, especially for these glorified house shows that they're doing, where you announce the matches and then make the angle to set them up.
I get that you want to sell tickets based on matches that are going to be at the card, but...
But I thought WWE was the draw. Isn't that what they keep telling us? It's not the matches and the stars anymore, it's the brand.
You can still sell tickets 3 weeks out. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And anyway, this was very flat, but then Miz reveals it is Maryse, and Maryse comes down to be the guest. And I thought... This was a really good segment.
I thought it was good as well. They sort of Miz was interviewing Maryse about how Brie Bella's rubbish and everything. No Brie Bella on this show, and Maryse announced that she's not going to be on SmackDown Live moving forward either. So perhaps our prediction of Maryse versus Brie Bella at Evolution isn't coming to pass.
The reason she's not going to be on SmackDown is because she's off to become the best mother in the world again.
Yeah, she's mother of the century.
Yeah, and. This was where my favourite line happened, because I was enjoying it, but it was just fine, this segment. But then Miz said, what was the line? That Brie wasn't into Brian anymore.
Yes, she was. She's only married into Brian because she thought he was going to be this big, like, WWE champion, and now he's not.
And he had to retire. I thought that was a real good shoot line. That should have, not a shoot line, like, but it really played off real life, and it felt like genuinely nasty. There's no way you can side with Miz and Maryse in that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a great one that should have probably been saved for a go home angle. Here it was kind of buried in a larger promo, but Miz did his usual excellent heel stuff where he said, "Don't boo my wife," to the crowd.
And then because the crowd kept booing, as you would, he then challenged Daniel Bryan to come out, and Bryan did. And they got into a bit of a scuffle. Bryan said, "Don't you say anything nasty about my wife." And they got into the ring and had a bit of a scuffle. And Bryan drop-kicked Miz, but Miz landed into Maryse. And everyone went down, and Bryan was almost Johnny Gargano-esque, being like, "Oh no, what have I done? What have I become?" Miz is cowering over her. They bring out the stretcher. And then all of a sudden, Maryse just stands up.
Smiling.
And Miz tries to hit the skull-crushing finale. Bryan fights out of that, and he throws Miz into Maryse for real this time, and they both fall out the ring, and they escape up the ramp.
Yeah, why do they keep doing this angle and never follow through on it? Why can't Bryan or the Miz genuinely hurt one of their wives, and then they're like, "Oh no, I've gone too far in this blood feud"? This is the second time they've done it.
I was going to say,
and they did it twice here.
You were so into that spot last week as well, when Bryan was thrown into Brie and Brie went down. They were like, "Oh no, what's happened?" You were like, "They're definitely going to play off of that at Hell in a Cell." I was like, "I don't think they are, mate."
So what is the point of adding the wives into this storyline?
To elongate the feud. We've talked about this. It was to artificially extend this out.
But at least make it tie into a larger feud to progress the story. Right now you've had a singles feud, and then that's come out into a feud with the wives, and the idea then would be to use the wives as an angle to set up another singles match. But that's not what they've done. They've just gone back to the singles match. It's so frustrating because it's so easily done.
Yes.
It's just like a simple tweak, and it makes everything a lot more layered and complex. But they haven't done that. But I did enjoy this segment.
Yeah, I enjoyed this segment as well. And then backstage, Bryan was being interviewed by Kayla, and he called Miz a coward. And I can't believe they tried to stage an injury. And I did like this line where he said, "Not only am I going to punch Miz in the face, I'm going to punch my ticket to the WWE Championship." Mm. That was a good line.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Bryan being in the main event.
So you think he's going to win then?
If he doesn't win, that's just... Bryan needs to be in the main event now. now that this Miz thing is coming to a close, God, if they do a double count out. There was also the New Day walking around backstage dressed like Steve Irwin because Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Finding the New Day annoying at the moment.
Well, I mean, I said in the review, I thought they were on the right side of obnoxious this week, but only just.
It's a
It was a fine line. Because, like, so they came out in these sort of wacky costumes, and the bit that I liked was when Big E started doing his Australian accent, and they were like, that's not a very good accent at all. And he just offhandedly went, the Iconics told me it was fine. So that was really funny. But then they got in the ring and started making fun of Cesaro's nipples. And that's when you start to cross back over that line again, New Day. You need to stay over on this side.
So this was Cesaro versus Kofi Kingston because they're building to a match between the New Day and the Bar. And quite a short match, really, because most of it was in the commercial break shrink screen.
Yep.
Cool, I've written here, cool-looking tummy springboard moonsault from Kofi.
Yeah,
or
more
senton,
like, like somersault thing. Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I was more into Cesaro's uppercuts and his, like, big gut wrench off the top rope. Well, he tried to when Kofi hit a tornado DDT. I thought it was actually a lot of fun. And, like, the 2 minutes of wrestling they actually got to do, because it wasn't in commercial break, I thought it was good fun. And Cesaro hit the gotch neutralizer and won.
Yep.
I thought it was a thumbs up.
Then we got the first Rusev Day breakup bit backstage. Then we got
let's talk about this segment.
Well, I like this
segment. I loved this segment. I thought this was amazing.
But it was weird.
It was so creepy. But it was brilliantly creepy though. Like, it was intentionally creepy and unnerving. And I genuinely thought it was very effective. Allegedly. I felt like I had to keep saying allegedly in my review.
Well, that's it. Like, it's a good segment anyway, and it would make me feel, ooh, that's creepy. Randy's really, like, kind of snapped into this darker place.
It's Randy Orton we're talking about.
Yeah, but with the allegations that have resurfaced in the last couple of months, it just adds an uncomfortably weird layer to what should be a different kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah. So what Randy did is Randy went to the production truck while someone is editing footage, and he wants this editor to bring up images of... And actually, I thought this explains how they get their video packages done to then show when they go out to the ring. I thought Randy was going to come out to the ring and show it, and I was like, finally, they're explaining to Ollie Davis, because they watch this show, we know this, they're going to finally explain to you how they get these video packages made. But anyway, he wants to, like, look at these images of him sticking the screwdriver in Jeff Hardy's flesh tunnel at Hell in a Cell. And he's, like, almost massaging the editor. I mean, I said in the interview he was getting off on these images. And he's, like, massaging the editor's shoulders while doing it. And the editor's like, yeah, that hurts a little bit. And he's like, does it hurt, does it? Then he just grabs him by the face and makes him look at the screen and be like, does that look like it hurts? Does it? Ooh, that looks like it hurts.
Yeah.
And then has this great...
It's good.
And then has this great line where he says, what I did to Jeff Hardy will pale in comparison to my next victim.
Yeah.
Great! I thought this was terrific. But as you said, also had that little layer of uncomfortableness with all the allegations going against him, allegedly.
You're right. That last line was the real money bit, because this was good character stuff to get Randy over about how sick he's become in his new heel persona. But the fact that he goes, my next victim, that suddenly made me interested and excited to see where he's going to go next.
Yeah.
And that's really what you want in a week-to-week wrestling show. Not just cool stuff in isolation, but stuff that makes you excited about the next chapter. These kind of mini cliffhangers that snowball throughout the show makes you want to tune in next week.
Exactly.
So, yes... Yeah, who do you think it's going to be?
Well, the rumor was Rey Mysterio, right?
Like, okay.
I wonder if they're going to build to an angle, because this was shown 996, so we're not too far off now from SmackDown 1000. I think they've already said that the Rey Mysterio will likely be at that show, and maybe that's where they'll start the angle. Rey comes out to do his big, like, I've returned to SmackDown, the show that I made good, like, fun to watch in 2005 and 2006. And then Randy comes out with a screwdriver and, like, you know, starts poking through his mask. Or
in
something,
the eyes.
Yeah, in the eyes, or something along those lines, and that's going to start their feud to lead until the end of the year.
This is good.
That was just the rumor that it was going to be Ray. I don't know if it is.
I guess Randy is going back into a legend killer gimmick if he is going for these sort of WWE icons.
Well, I'd like to see him do for the next couple of weeks just to keep that plate spinning, as if him attacking fan favourites. So maybe like R-Truth, who's like quite over at the moment, him doing like R-Truth just comes out for a segment, Randy just comes out of nowhere and starts doing dastardly things to him. You could do it with Ty Dillinger, although he's not quite as over as he once was, and, you know, then pick someone else for week three. That takes us into Super Showdown. Then you can do SmackDown 1000 after that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Thanks, man.
Then we got AJ Styles backstage with Braxton again. Kayla was all over this show. So she's officially...
She got the call up.
Main roster promoted now.
Exactly. Good for her. Poor old Kathy Kelly, though. Always left down. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride, poor Kathy
she's
Kelly.
She's got way too much charisma. She's way too naturally likable and not enough of a robot.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah. Kathy's very good at her job.
Kathy's like Renee level of just... What's the word? Where you just like someone, naturally likable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll replace Byron Saxton on the SmackDown commentary team.
Mm. So AJ Styles was in this interview, and the big, like, I was really interested in to see where this feud would go next after Hell in a Cell, because you had this great finish where Samoa Joe has AJ in the Kikina clutch, but AJ sort of pushes him back and gets a pinning combination on Joe, but just before the three count, AJ taps on Joe's shoulder. So he really lost the match, and I thought, well, you know, AJ's a babyface, is he going to say... hold my hands up, I'm gonna, you know, the title is now in limbo, and the next time we face, we'll decide who's the winner. He didn't. He said in this interview, he said, well, sometimes you get lucky, and sometimes karma bites Joe in the butt.
Yeah, he said that because Joe had been such a bully to AJ and his family, it's karma getting him back. And I'd said in the review that I was a bit disappointed that they didn't play up on anything from that, but then I did say... we've still got a couple of weeks before Super Showdown. Maybe we can do something in that time. But I would say that sort of like in the immediate, you would want to capitalize on such a great and inventive finish for this storyline. And they didn't. And it was really weird that they didn't.
It
was almost like it was an accident.
Yeah. And then he goes, well, you know, in Australia to fix this, it's going to be no DQ.
Which still makes no sense to me. I've seen a few people say online it makes sense. No, it bloody doesn't, because the same finish can happen. Because that's what I mean. Like, when people go like, of course it's no DQ, it's a blood feud. I'm like, yeah, but if you're Samoa Joe, the same thing could happen again. Yeah. You give him the clutch, and AJ could tap out and still miss the three. He still wins. Joe still loses.
It's not a logical build. Yeah.
No.
The idea is something in one match will... logically build to a stipulation in the next match.
Like, if the Hell in a Cell match had been a no DQ match built off the SummerSlam match, that would have made sense there. And then you use that finish to build to the submission match at Super Showdown.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love a submission match.
That'd be great.
Two. Calf Crusher versus Kikina Clutch. Battle
of the double C's.
the alliteration C's. But yeah, this is... I felt, though, that, you know, all those nitpicks aside, that the promotion for Super Showdown was a lot more organic on SmackDown than it was on Raw.
Despite the fact that they announced it.
Those bits, yeah. So it wasn't like, Raw felt very in your face, and it was also split with Crown Jewel and it was just Crown Jewel, wasn't it?
With
the Undertaker stuff and the Triple Threat. But this didn't. This was only Super Showdown.
I
thought it benefited a lot from that.
Yeah, still no word on what this World Cup is.
Mm.
I mean, I'm guessing it's just a like round robin not even round robin, just be an elimination tournament.
All in the same night?
Yeah, to crown the best in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. With a trophy. then we got the Rusev Day stuff where they had the Nakamura match and the sad turn. But then we got...
oh, man, easily the best match of the week in terms of TV.
So...
that's just between
Raw and SmackDown. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a really good match. AJ Styles versus Andrade Cien Almas went through two ad breaks.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
In fact, my only notes in a negative column for this match, which I thought was just terrific, and I thought both guys worked it really, really well, is that part of the heat from the match happens during the commercial break, which was, Phillips explained it on commentary, but it's like, show, don't tell. Because this was also during one of the non-shrink commercial breaks. It was just a black screen commercial break, you know, adverts came up, where AJ Styles had the Calf Crusher on Almas for a long time, and that's why Almas was selling his leg for the last third of the match. Like, if you miss that one line of commentary, then you're like, why is he selling his leg? And it's just, and it's the unfortunate of doing things on TV, especially with SmackDown, where they love to separate things out by ad breaks. But it did make me want to see a pay-per-view match between the two of them where there would be no ad breaks.
Yeah, this is their second encounter with a couple of months between them both so far. But yeah, it was... Yeah, Almas' selling of his knee
so good.
Was really, really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it was great.
And
like, I'd just like to have seen it.
There was a point where I thought, is he legit injured?
Mm.
And it really played in, and it protects him in defeat. Eventually, AJ hit this amazing Styles Clash reversal.
Yeah, so like Almas goes for the Hammerlock DDT. Styles double legs him, jackknifes himself over for the pin, but then flips himself over and in the same motion lifts up Almas into the Styles Clash.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a wicked finish. It was so good. I mean, I said this in the review. It's a shame that they've done nothing with Almas since he came up to the main roster. He's just had good matches. He had good matches with Rusev. He's had a good match with a good couple of matches with Bryan. He's had good matches with AJ. But he's had no real storyline. That one with Sin Cara doesn't count. He's just had no real sort of storyline. And I just think that with Andrade in the main event mix, and then you've got AJ, Andrade, Joe, Bryan, Miz. You got, that's five guys right there that you're like, man, you could build such a solid division around those.
Totally. On paper, it's very good. But we said the exact same thing after the draft earlier this year.
Yeah.
Where we're like, oh my God, SmackDown. You've got all these guys. This is going to be like an amazing three-way feud with AJ Nakamura, or four-way AJ Nakamura, Joe, Bryan. Those are your four guys. And you just build SmackDown around that, like the old SmackDown 6. But that hasn't really happened.
No.
Samoa Joe was kind of absent for a large part of the start of this kind of post-WrestleMania year. Nakamura and AJ were stuck in a feud just eternally together. And Bryan was wasted in a big Cass feud.
Yeah.
So it's, definitely, like, that's how SmackDown should be. And SmackDown's already a pretty decent show.
It's easily the best show of the two.
Yeah, imagine if they really focused around their top group of guys.
Yep.
Yeah. So after this very good match, Joe immediately attacks AJ from behind. But AJ gets the better of him and Joe runs off through the crowd. That's the big follow-up angle.
Yeah, it's a shame that's the follow-up angle to such a good finish, because that follow-up angle doesn't actually tie into it. But maybe it's that SmackDown thing where they just tell stories out of order.
Yeah.
It's like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, because I...
Suddenly you'll go back and watch this, you'll be like, oh, so that's why he was there.
Yeah. I got the sense that they're going to drop all the family stuff.
Oh, 100%. They totally like dropping all the family stuff from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the next match?
Well, I mean, there's not much to say. Asuka took on Billie Kay. Billie Kay took 95% of the match. Asuka got the Asuka lock and won.
95% of the match being 2 minutes 50.
Yeah.
This about 3 minutes.
This wasn't much of a match. It was a bit of a pointless segment. And, yeah, they're having a match at Super Showdown. But it's like the Riot Squad and Bella's situation, where, like, Asuka and Naomi have beaten them twice now, so there's no real drama. Like, they've got their revenge on Iconics. Why are we dragging this out further to a show in Australia, apart from the fact that it's their home country, I guess?
Which means they're losing.
Well, of course, yeah.
Who in their right mind would be excited for this tag match? I just...
And I love Iconics. I love the Iconics. I think they're awesome. I love Asuka. I think Asuka is awesome. I really like Naomi. I think she's really awesome. This sucks. Mm. This is really bad. It's not as bad as last week. It wasn't effing rubbish.
Yeah, it was an awkward comedy.
No. But it was still... It was pointless. It didn't need to be there.
Yeah, and it's just such an uninspiring... That's my word of the week for WWE TV. Uninspiring stuff as they build to Super Showdown. But what was very good, I don't think I've got a single bad thing to say about this.
Absolutely not.
Was Becky Lynch's title celebration. Now, you said earlier in the opening bit about how WWE, the commentators were framing Becky as the heel.
Yeah.
Which baby faces have title celebrations? I can't think of any.
No, you have a title celebration if you're a heel. Because
they
think she's a heel. And they want her to be the heel because Charlotte's the baby face. But the crowd are just like, no, this is awesome. And Becky's awesome. And, I mean, I kept saying this in the review. I was like, Phillips and Saxton kept telling us that Becky's bad, but the crowd cheered her like she was a badass. Because she is. And then during this, I'm like, why wouldn't you cheer her? She's so cool.
Yeah.
She's great. When she had, like, she threw the title over her shoulder, Charlotte said her thing, and Becky just politely stood there and listened and sort of nodded along, being like, you're saying a lot of rubbish here. And then she tried to say something. Charlotte tried to cut her off. She was like, no, the champ is talking now.
Yeah.
And then she just kept saying, like, you said I was second best in the ring. This title says otherwise.
Yeah.
And she just kept saying all these things, and the title says otherwise. And I'm like, you're the best. You're just the best. Why are you not like the pure babyface in this? She is Steve Austin.
I mean, she's not Steve Austin, but it's a similar character.
That's it, yeah. But Steve Austin, and this is the thing, like, Brian Alvarez is arguing to his dying breath on Wrestling Observer Radio and things like that, that Becky Lynch is a babyface and that WWE are pushing her as a babyface. And she kept saying, they're pushing her like Stone Cold. The difference is, when they were pushing Stone Cold as a heel character who was beloved by the fans, and he was more or less a babyface, the commentators kept reminding us that he's a babyface, and the production and the company said, you are supposed to cheer this guy. They're not doing that with Becky. They keep, like, try as they might, they are like, no, boo her.
Yeah,
it's, and it's not going to work.
It's a very reluctant push. I just thought she was really good. My favourite line, along with the title says otherwise stuff, was Charlotte. So it's a title celebration. Paige welcomes Becky down to the ring. Becky invites Charlotte down. She gets a "you deserve it" chant.
Yeah, there was there was a great line before she brings Charlotte out where it was almost a parody. It was her dig at Ronda's title celebration. I suppose Ronda had a title celebration. She had a dig at Ronda's where she was like, "I don't need the whole women's division around at ringside. I just want one person."
And she also said, like, I'm not going to be left off the magazine covers anymore. And I got a bit of a CM Punk vibe.
Yeah.
And when he came back after his pipe bomb, he made all these demands, like, I want the movies. I want my face on the cups.
And the ice cream bars.
Yeah, the ice cream bars, famously. So there was that anti-establishment awesomeness to tap into. And, so Becky then says, Charlotte, come out here. And Charlotte comes out and says, look, I'm not here to fight you. You were the better woman on that night. I'm showing respect. Yada, yada, yada.
I'm the baby face.
Yeah, but I will. I'm the humble baby face, but I will get the title back at Super Showdown. And Becky just says, like, she's got this big grin on her face, goes, oh, sorry, I stopped listening after you said I was the better woman. And it is just so good.
Because she's the best. She's the absolute best.
And then she's like, now put the title round my waist.
Yeah.
Just that these are really, they're funny, badass lines. And all that needs, you don't need to change anything about Becky's character or performance. You just need to, like you said, stop the commentators and the company framing her as the bad guy in all this.
That is literally the only thing that needs changing. Her promo, her performance doesn't need to change whatsoever. Just need to stop Saxton and Phillips and Graves and the people doing the promo videos being like, oh, she's bad, isn't she? Just stop that bit. And you've got an absolute, you've got a classic on your hands.
Yeah.
This was great. I love Becky.
So Becky asks Charlotte to put the title around her waist. Then she says, okay, don't do that. Just call me the queen. And Charlotte, disgusted, turns to walk away. And then Becky says, bitch. And Charlotte goes to attack Becky. And Becky beats her up and locks in the disarmer. And you're like, yeah, Becky, go Becky. And the commentators are going, just such a shame that Becky sacrificed her friendship for the top women's title on the brand she wrestles for.
Charlotte had this line in her promo. She was like, I just hope there is a fraction of my best friends left in whatever you have become. What, the most interesting thing on this show? Yeah, I mean, she really is. And the commentators, they're going like, oh, that's so disrespectful. I can't believe Becky would do this.
It's like,
while the crowd are going, yes, 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 one more time, one more time.
Becky never really did anything bad. Sure, she turned on Charlotte and they, you know, she beat her up a bit. And then, she beat her up a bit from the crowd. But they were building to a title match, in kayfabe. Why wouldn't you do these things?
She stole her spotlight at SummerSlam.
And she beat Charlotte fair and square at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
So I really, to keep on bringing it back to, but she really, really ruined that friendship.
What a meanie.
Why wouldn't you for the top title?
It is the most frustrating thing about this. However, on the positive side, this was a great segment.
Oh, yeah, you know when we said, I've got no negatives for this? I forgot about that rather fundamental large negative.
Yeah.
But yes, Becky's awesome. Very excited to see her all the time.
Yeah,
And she got the main event spot as well.
And she was easily the most over person on the whole show. She got a bigger reaction than AJ Styles did. She got a bigger reaction than Rusev and Nakamura. She's the most over thing on SmackDown at the moment. Yeah. And this was not a hot crowd. This wasn't a particularly hot crowd all night. But as soon as Becky's music came out, as soon as she was there, the crowd came alive and was super into her. I think she's great.
So you gave it a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
I agree. I think it's a 4 out of 5 show. Good show, WWE.
Well done, SmackDown. So I want to give a quick shout out to Josh Linnett. He got in touch with us a little while back. At least he got in touch with me on Twitter. He met Ronda Rousey in March and tried to get in. Like, he had a bit of a chat with her, and he tried to get a film a selfie thing with her saying support WrestleTalk.
I remember this.
And she sort of did, but sort of didn't at the same time because she didn't really know what that was, and she doesn't really say much of anything. But he sent us the clip again just in case we wanted to use it on this show.
Thanks Josh,
that's very kind of you to say. And actually, thank you very much. I won't read out people's names. We've had a lot of emails in quite recently of people who have been talking about genuinely tough times that they've been having in their lives, but listening to the podcast has helped them out. And you know, we didn't want to read them out on the show in case you didn't want them to be read out, but thank you very much. We do read them, and it really does mean a lot to us that you have sent these emails in. I'm going to read.
We'll give you all a hug. One day we'll round you all up.
Absolutely.
We'll give you allegedly hug.
You're very lucky. I was just about to read an email here, which is called An Opposite Wrestle Talk Get Better. And I was just about to read out that person's name. And in the first paragraph, it says, do not read out my name. I didn't want to give out my name either. So just say vacant. So I'm just going to say,
Do that from now on? That's
so
a good idea.
Rather than being from anonymous, it's from vacant.
From vacant.
Okay, so from vacant.
What a Hall of Famer.
Hearing people set out goals to try and achieve it made me want to do the same. But it's not like most of your goals that you have been sent. You see, nearly everyone that sent you mail is overweight, trying to lose that weight and have an athletic body. My problem is that I am short and underweight, but have an athletic body. I've been swimming for 10 years, but quit 2 years ago, and have the body shape of an inverted triangle. I'm 170 centimeters, about 5'5", 50 kilograms, 110 pounds, but want to put on some weight, like about 10 kilograms or so. But I have anorexia and eat whenever I want. My eating schedule has been effed up since I came out my summer resort, which we stay at till late night and wake up at 1 p.m, skipping breakfast, going straight to sunbathe, drinking Monster, and listening to WrestleTalk. For the height aspect, I hope to grow a little taller, as I am still 16, but I've not much hope. I mean, I think I probably reached my maximum height of 5'10". Yeah, probably around 16, 17, maybe 18.
I'm still growing.
You reckon?
Yeah. I'm a scientific oddity.
I'm still growing outwards. Yeah. That's my
problem. I was 5'2" last year.
Oh, you don't notice it. I mean, I've known you now for like 5 years. I've never noticed
it. Creep up on it. Creep up on you.
As for the weight, I plan to do the opposite of a diet, to eat everything that I find in front of me, forcing myself to do the same, cut out the Monster. Is Monster bad? I mean, I imagine it's very bad because it's full of taurine.
Drink. They just banned it for kids.
Yeah, I know, but like if you're trying to put on weight.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's got a lot of caffeine, and that's going to speed up your metabolism, which you generally want to slow down if you're trying to pack on pounds.
I told you this story, I think we told it off mic, though, about when I was at university and I had to make a documentary for my third year, and I was obsessed with the documentary Super Size Me. So I suggested to my tutor that I was going to do a documentary about the dangers of energy drinks because I saw a lot of people drinking them around university, and like they were sold in like the bucket load in our student union and like tuck shops and things like that. So I was going to drink nothing but energy drinks for 7 days.
You would have developed diabetes.
And I was going to go to like medical professionals and get them like on camera and like find out what I was like at the start of it and find out what I was like at the end of it. Problem is, at that time I was about 7 stone, so it probably would have just killed me. And my tutor talked me out of it.
Or turned you into a superhero. That's something we can... If I've learnt one thing from reading comics and watching superhero movies, is that you can't write off near-life-death experiences.
Yeah.
Because they could turn you into a superhero.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened yet.
No. You like that comic strip I sent you of the of Spider-Man talking to an actual spider?
I did. That was good.
But anyway, back to this, back to Vacant's email. But the problem here is that I am scared of losing my body shape, athleticism, speed, etc. So I want to try and start Muay Thai, amateur wrestling, and brilliant jiu-jitsu, which he's called BJJ. As I become proficient in English and have some time to do so. Some people told me that I can't do wrestling as I am small and underweight and the bigger guys will outpower me, but I will try it nevertheless. And he said that wrong there. It's not about power, it's also about technique. Damn bloody right it is.
Yeah. Oh, he's experiencing his own sort of
WWE.
Everything before CM Punk in WWE, yeah.
You say, but yeah, I mean, it still happens now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason why Daniel Bryan is not in the main event. He is small and he's got a beard.
And Big Cass was, you know, they tried.
They tried, bless him.
They wanted
it to happen. They tried. They really did want it to happen.
Hey, Baron Corbin's in the main event.
It sounds weird for most people want to cut weight and I can't, but I can't. I want to put weight on but can't. Anyway, keep up the amazing consistent work and wanted to point out that even though I hate the recent WWE shows and pay-per-views, except for SmackDown Live, you should enjoy this show then, I love the pay-per-view week as we get nearly every day a new episode of the podcast, just in case I'm a pod swafter, and hope you do New Japan reviews as well because most of us can't access the weekly episodes. I will inform you if any progress is made. That's from Vacant.
Well, I so typically you call these people hard gainers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I am one. If I don't eat quite a lot, I start to drop weight quite quickly.
Yes.
But 3 years ago, I was on the dangerous end of underweight. Not dangerous end of underweight, but I was down near the bottom of that scale where they work it out with BMI. So I thought, okay, I'm finally going to do something here. And the surprise, surprise, the solution is having double the amount of calories that you take in a day. And I'm not a big eater. I prefer to just not really have any hunger and just do loads of work and stuff.
Yeah.
But there was a... I mean, you can get... I can't remember the... It was called, like, Primal Monkey Super Juice or something. I can't remember. But it is a specifically weight-gaining shake. This one was 1600 calories with milk.
Wow. Yeah.
It was a thick old thing, but it tasted delicious. And you have one or two of those a day, and then your food anyway. And if you're doing the amount of training that you say you are, you will gain fat, sure, and you will lose a bit of the definition, but that's going to come anyway with gaining more size. So yeah, look, if you haven't already, look into some specifically mass gaining supplements.
Yeah, because you still want to look like Mr. Speedy from the Mr. Men books, but unfortunately, you don't want to put on too much weight, I guess. Did I ever tell you? I mean, I mentioned it there when I was at university. When I got out of university, I was very, very thin. I was about like 6-7 stone. My friend Rick, he was at my wedding. He used to be able to just lift me up with one hand above his head,
like a child,
because I was like, I was 21, but I used to call myself Skeletor because I was like Skeletor times. My mother was terrified. And that was one of the...
Mothers do not like skinny sons.
Absolutely not. Because I was living on a very healthy diet of baked beans and potato waffles. That was just my favourite thing to eat, with lots of HP Fruity. And so when I got out of university, I was drinking a lot of weight gain shakes. And get this, I was going to the gym a lot because I was just trying to put weight back on. And eventually I did. And then when I was working freelance, I put loads of weight on by trying to rid the world of Big Macs, which is also my advice I would give to you. If you want to put on weight, Big Macs is the way to go. Get a large Big Mac meal and a double cheeseburger and whatever side they've currently got on. That was my McDonald's meal of choice.
A double burger?
Oh, yeah, you've got a double burger if you get a Mac.
You have a Big Mac and a double cheeseburger.
Yeah, you have a large Big Mac meal, a double cheeseburger, unless the McRib's on, in which case get the McRib as well. And then whatever special side they've got on, which is usually like breaded cheese.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's how I ended up being a bit fat a couple of years ago.
So when I was in my weight gaining...
Vegetarian now.
Yeah, when I was in my weight gaining phase, someone on the, like, on one of the YouTube videos put, well, he's putting on a bit of weight. I never had that said to me before. And it made me so self-conscious. Like, I was like, my chin. And I wouldn't bend my neck. So my chin would never go below a 90-degree angle to my chest.
Yeah.
Just in case a little double chin happened.
Absolutely, yeah.
For about 3 months. It was before you joined. I was so rigid.
But yeah, no, that was my McDonald's routine. Like, if you spent under £10 in McDonald's, you're doing it wrong. That was kind of like my rule of things. Same with KFC.
That is a way to gain pounds, but also lose pounds. In money sense.
It was, because when I was working freelance in 2014, I was not earning a lot of money. I was earning no pounds per month, more
and
or less.
Spending more eating out all the time.
Because I was going into London because I was doing film reviews all the time. And I was not earning a lot. I think we might draw that to a close. Actually, maybe.
Luke. We're over.
No, we're not.
We are. Oh, it's 23 minutes overall.
Oh, yeah, I suppose you're about right, aren't you? Anyway, we'll call it a day there, shall
we? What business meeting?
I was going to look to see if there was a poetry corner to end on. We're going to need to go get our lunch anyway. I'm starving after all that chat about McDonald's. But that is all we got time for. We'll be back on the Saturday show, where we'll be talking about the biggest news topic of the week, as well as crap gimmicks and your mailbag. Remember, if you do want to come see Wrestle Ramble live, we're going to be at the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018. Tickets are available now. We have heard that there have been people who have gone to the Prince Charles itself to buy their tickets. You can do it online, it's fine. Travel down from wherever you are. London's a lovely place, and central London's even better if you're a tourist. And the Prince Charles Cinema is just such a great venue. I had my engagement photos done there, and I love it. So we're very excited about the show. Please come and see it. We'll speak to you on Saturday. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.